You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Morning. I just want to speak to you for just a few moments, reading to you from Genesis chapter 24. Start with verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahorah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. The story that I'm reading to you this morning is it's an interesting story of Abraham wanting to find a wife for his son Isaac. I'll speak to you just for the next few moments on the bride with the gifts. The bride with the gifts. This morning, if you look at the story and you go back to the beginning of it, Abraham has kind of reached the last days of his life. He's at old age, and Isaac has not got married yet. And so Abraham is concerned that his son Isaac would find a wife. Abraham gathers his servant together and men that were with his servant, and he said, "I want you to go and search for a bride for Isaac." The servant takes off with 10 camels and all kinds of gifts, lots of things that are prized possessions, and he's going to find Isaac a wife. The servant travels through to the country of or city of Nahor, which is in Mesopotamia, and he stops at a well just outside the city. He has this conversation that if there's this lady that comes and will give him a drink and he'll have an understanding that possibly this is the right person that Isaac maybe would be able to marry. Before long, along comes Rebekah, and Rebekah shows up to gather water, get water, draw water from the well here outside the city of Nahor. And in the meantime, when she sees the servant, she offers to get him some water as well. He immediately knows that this is part of the plan. This is who I've been looking for. But what's so interesting about this lady, Rebekah, that she doesn't just offer the servant water. She offers to water his 10 camels. Now, you have to understand, a camel can drink up to an average of 32 gallons at one given time. He's got 10 camels. That's approximately, could be, up to 320 gallons of water. More than likely, Rebecca is carrying a jar that would hold approximately 3 gallons at the most. That's about the limit that she probably could be able to carry, maybe a little bit more, but probably approximately 3 gallons that she could handle in the jar that she's in. That tells us that at least 100 times plus she draws water to not only water the servant, but also the 10 camels. That's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. They're not standing by the river. They're not standing by some type of brook. She's drawing water out of the well. At least 100 times she draws water to feed and to make sure the camels have water to drink, and also the servant. This is an act of an incredible act of kindness that she shows towards Abraham's servant. And the servant then continues on to the house of Bethuel, and their camels are fed, and they have water to wash their feet, and they eat as well. And then the Bible says in verse 33 of Genesis chapter 24 that the servant shares with Bethuel the errand that he's there for. I don't have time to go through the whole story this morning, but by verse 51, Rebekah is given unto the servant to go back to be Isaac's wife. I do want to read a couple of verses here. Verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. You'll notice here that the servant that Abraham sent, all those wonderful goods that he was sent with, he immediately passes over to the family because Rebekah is willing to be the bride of Isaac. They start on their journey back home. And as they're journeying home, this length of time on the camels, the passage that I read to you is the passage that's at kind of the end of this story. And they've arrived, and they're coming into sight of Isaac that has gone out into the fields, and he sees the camels coming, and he sees the lady that's on the camel, and she's wondering who the man is, and the servant says, that's the guy, that's Isaac, that's the one that you will be his bride. And she lights off the candle and puts on her veil and presents herself to Isaac. And in the midst of all this, Isaac recognizes that this is the bride that has been brought back to him. This is the one who has the gifts. His bride was going to be recognized by the person with the gifts. What's interesting about Isaac is he is a type of Christ. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, Matthew's writing, and he's talking about Jesus being Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of David representing him as the king, and the son of Abraham representing him as the promise, or the son of promise. And so what happens is Matthew's writing about him as Isaac is a type of what Jesus is going to be like. No type is ever perfect. No type is exact. It's a representation of that there's going to be a promised son. And that's why Mary was told, Mary, thou shalt have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall take away the sins, or the sins of mankind will be removed because of this man. This promise that's come. This morning, just as Isaac was preparing for a bride, Jesus is preparing for his bride. Just as the bride was preparing for the bridegroom Isaac, the bride this morning, the church, is in preparation for the bridegroom and his return. One of these days, Jesus is showing up. Amen. And the bride that has the gifts are the ones that he's looking for. And so very quickly, I'm just going to share with you, I can't go into all the details, but very quickly, seven gifts that the Lord has given us. Number one, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us the gift of love. That commendeth means to make or to introduce to us. He showed us an unending love, an unconditional love. He gave you and I a gift of love. Before we ever loved him, he loved you. Amen. Secondly, he give us the gift of grace. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 5 and says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God loved you and I so much that he extended to you and I the gift of His grace. Let me tell you what the bride has this morning. You've got a gift of love, a love that goes beyond our comprehension. And you have experienced the gift of grace, the grace that is sufficient this morning for you and I. We're not saved out of anything that we could do, but by His grace, a gift of grace that He's given you. I'll tell you what He's looking for. He's looking for a bride that has experienced the gift of grace. Nothing more powerful this morning than understanding that He loved you and has been gracious to you. Jesus is going along in John chapter 4, answered and said unto the woman who was at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus says to this lady at the well, he says, I've got something for you. If you drink of the water of this well, you will thirst again. But I've got a gift for you. I've got the gift of living water. If you'll drink of the living water this morning, you'll never thirst again. Jesus explaining to this lady, if you knew who I was and the gift that I can give you, you would understand that you would never thirst again. Let me tell you, He's looking for a bride that's experienced the gift of His love, the gift of His grace, and the gift of living water. I'm glad to tell you this morning, in my belly, there is a river of living water. Let me tell you, each and every one of you this morning, out of you flows a river of living water. It's not just about attending church. It's not just calling yourself a Christian. There's something inside of you that's different. There's something inside of you that makes you different. There's something inside of you that's powerful. That's why Peter said, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's looking for a bride that has the gifts. The gift of love, the gift of grace, the gift of living water, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can see how they flow together. Amen. You can't have Jesus without having the gifts. He wants you to be the bride. Music, come. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if one by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That gift of righteousness is just simply you wanting to live right. You wanting to live the way He wants you to live. You wanting to be like Jesus. You wanting to put away the past and take on what Jesus wants you to become. It's about you leaving behind everything that used to be and looking forward to what God has in store for you. Let me tell you this morning, He's looking for a bride that has received the gift of righteousness. It's not just enough for you and I to call ourselves a Christian. What's important is that we have the gift of righteousness, that by Jesus Christ we get to live the way He wants you and I to live. I don't want to please me. I want to please Him. The gift of righteousness. And just in case you get off track, and just in case you have a bad day, just in case you've had a bad month or year, amen, or maybe it's been a long period of time, it doesn't matter. He expresses to us the gift of mercy. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's to get a hold of. That's to seek after. That's to reach for. That's to receive. I'll tell you what He's got for you this morning. If you're just not feeling up to the way you should should be in God. His mercy is everlasting. It's new and fresh every morning. I'm thankful that it endureth forever. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. He's looking for a bride that has the gift of mercy. Ah, I'm so thankful this morning. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to possess the gifts. It's not because of how special you or I, how special we are this morning. It's not about that. It's about how great He is. It's about what He's offered. He's given me the gift of His love. He's given me the gift of grace. He's given me the gift of living water, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of righteousness, the gift of mercy. And lastly, Paul writes and says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't have a better message to tell you this morning that this is not where I'm staying. This is not my home. Hallelujah. This is not what I'm reaching for. I'm reaching for the gift of eternal life. Amen. The other side of reigning and living with Him for eternity. He's looking for a bride with the gifts. What a responsibility that servant had. I'm kind of glad we don't do it that way anymore. I can't even imagine if my dad sent out some guy that worked for him, said, "I'd like you to find Brent a wife." Dear Lord, what the possibilities could be. Can you imagine how scary that would be? Someone else picking you out a woman? No thanks. But that's what they did. That's what was being accomplished. And the responsibility put upon that servant to find the right lady for Isaac. And I can only imagine as he prayed and sought the Lord, "God, there's got to be someone that shows up at the well and willing to offer to give us drink." He went through the whole process. You can read the whole chapter. It's a great story. And then along comes Rebecca, and she draws possibly up to 320 gallons of water to give drink to the camels. I mean, it's one thing, you know, to have just a normal animal that maybe just drinks a little dish, even a bucket. No, the servants got camels, 32 gallons possibly each. Got to fill up the humps, I guess. Like, oh man, could it be anything else? No, she just, nothing said from her in a negative way. "I'll take care of your camels as well." And then all of a sudden, when the deal is made and Dad says she can go, the gifts are poured out. Rebecca receives the gifts. The family receives the gifts. And Rebecca's on her way back. And then Isaac can view her. Now listen, there's a neat little scripture in there. Okay? There's a scripture in that chapter that says that she was fair to look upon, or she was beautiful. Okay? That's from the servant's point of view. Have you ever talked to someone and they think someone's pretty and you think, man? No thanks. Ever, I mean, there. Yeah. The servant says she's fair to look upon. She was beautiful. And I can just imagine as they're coming across the field, and she says to the servant, "Who's that?" "That's the guy you're coming to see." They didn't have, as far as I know, they didn't have binoculars or telescopes to be able to see well in advance. Isaac trying to decide whether he was going to run or stay. No. He just knows that this is the bride. She's got the gifts. What's so awesome about God? We all have our own personalities. We all have our own abilities. We all look different. We got different cultures, male and female, all. I mean, it's just a wide variety, and thank the Lord for that. And none of that determines God's love for you, His grace for you. None of that determines the living water or the Holy Ghost or His righteousness. No, no, there's only one thing that determines whether you're part of the bride, and that's whether you have the gifts. That's so awesome about God. He's no respecter of persons. Everybody in this room this morning, God loves you exactly the same. I'm so thankful. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter how, where we've come from or what we've done. Amen. His love was toward us while we were still a sinner. His grace is sufficient. Living water will allow you to never thirst again. The gift of the Holy Ghost is Him living inside of you. The gift of righteousness, everybody here can live for Him. Let me tell you, the gift of mercy is extended to every person, and the gift of eternal life is for all who desire.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.